If you would, turn with me to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts is given to us by the physician Luke, evidently commissioned by Theophilus to write, I guess he would say, a history of the church, maybe. I don't know if that was the commission, but that's what you and I would call it now, as we get the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And can you imagine being a man named Theophilus? I don't know who Theophilus was. Evidently, affluent enough to commission Luke to go around and figure all this out and write it down for him. But can you imagine getting Luke's writing and having the Gospel of Luke, which I don't know what he would have called it then, and the book of Acts, and sitting down and reading those two together and reading about this Jesus you've heard so much about? What a wonderful time that must have been for Theophilus. I don't know, but I'm going to assume when we get to heaven we're going to meet Theophilus, because how could you read Luke and Acts? And he would have read it because he paid money to get it. How could you read those and not convert, not say this is good stuff here? So I love the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, we're going to study for the next 4 weeks in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter number 2. We're going to do a lot like we did in December with Luke 1 and Luke 2. Just spend some time in some verses in these. We're not going to get an in-depth study there. And then in the book of the month of February, we'll get into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and some verse-by-verse study through those, okay? I want to begin reading this morning in Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. We're going to read a little extra. Our focus verses will be verses 9 through 12 today, talking to you about a great church. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. He said, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus. For he numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that field, as that field is called in their proper tongue, Al-Sadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of his of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right, that's chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, the opportunity we have here this morning to read this account of the official beginning of the church. As you ascended back to heaven, as the church returned to Jerusalem and found themselves together in prayer and supplication, Lord, as even they handled some of the less exciting things of having to deal with the absence of Judas. Father, we just pray that you'll help us, through their example, to be a great church as well. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity we have here to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin a new year together, I want to spend some time looking at this great church with all that we have before us in 2015 and with all the potential that we have here in general. I feel it's critical that we consult others who have been there and who can advise us as we go forward as a church. And who better than the New Testament church? We see the New Testament church and its beginnings here in the book of Acts. Those have been with Jesus in Jerusalem just after his ascension from heaven. From verse 13 to 14, we see that a variety of people made up that first assembly of believers. There were men, there were women, there were apostles, and then there were just some non-apostles, some ordinary people. Even members of the Lord's earthly family were there all together with Jesus, and then were there all together after Jesus ascended. We read in verse number 15 that there were about 120 people in this first group who saw Jesus go, and then they met back together, and it was almost as if they said, "What do we do now? What should they do?" They've been right there with Jesus all through his ministry. His hand has fed them. He has made it easy for them, even in the hard times, as they did face some rejection and some persecution, even during Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus was right there with them all the while, but now he is gone. So what should they do? Where should they go? What is it for them now? And I stop there to say, isn't the book of Acts a wonderful piece of Scripture? Isn't it such a critical part of Scripture? Can you imagine how confusing it would be if you read through the Gospels and you read John, and you finished up John, and then you flipped over and there was Romans chapter 1, verse 1? If you don't know what Romans chapter 1 says, you should read Romans chapter 1, because if you had to stop at John and then take off in Romans, you might ask yourself, what in the world happened between John and Romans? One, I would say, well, how did the church even get to Rome? This is Jerusalem to Rome is no easy feat. I mean, that's not even easy today, but it's really not easy then, and scattered to all the little cities along the way there. If you've got maps in the book back of your Bible, you should look and see. Just look up your map that says Paul's missionary journeys, and you'll see the task that it was for it to get there. Well, the book of Acts tells us this. How the church got to Rome is right here in the book of Acts. And how the church got to you and I is right here in the book of Acts. Because of this, it's important that we consult Acts to recall how the church came to be and what the church should be and what the church should not be. Warren Wiersbe reminds us as he writes of this, he says, "The early church had none of the things that we think are so essential for success today. Buildings, money, political influence, social status. And yet the church won multitudes to Christ and saw many churches established throughout the Roman world." In fact, if you read further into the book of Acts, you find in Acts chapter 17 a testimony of the early church from an outsider looking in as they said this, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Someone during their day said, "I've heard about these people. They've turned their world upside down, and here they come to our town as well." I hope you can see already that in this group is a great church. And I want you to notice with me some things about them in the text. The first thing that we'll dwell on today is the idea that a great church advances. Verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. "And when he had spoken these things, Jesus, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Here they were at Mount Olivet. Jesus has been crucified, but he rose from the grave. How exciting that must have been. Think about how exciting you are on Easter Sunday. But now put yourself in their shoes. They lived with him. They knew him. They'd prayed next to him. They'd seen his miracles firsthand. But then he died. Think of how discouraging that would have been. But then 3 days later, here he is alive, back with you again. And think how encouraging this is. And we read at the beginning of chapter 1 how they said, okay, is now the time? Are you going to establish your kingdom now? They'd ask him during his life, and he said, no, you don't understand. I'm not telling you that I'm establishing my kingdom. I'm telling you that I came here to die. They said, no, you can't die. Peter said, I'll kill a guy before they let you die. But he died. And now he's alive again, and they're thinking, this is it. He's brought us out here to Mount Olivet. He's going to establish his kingdom, and we're in the inner circle. We're all going to be noblemen here. You know, I was just a fisherman, but man, I'm going to serve next to Jesus. He's king. And then right before their very eyes, there he goes, right up into heaven. We just got you back. Can't go again. You have family that do this to you, you know. They're gone for a long time, and then they come in, and they say, hey, I'm back. It's good to see you, but I got to go over here now. It's no fun. And here goes Jesus. And they're just standing there outside of Jerusalem. The Bible says about a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey is not as much as a regular day's journey. You know, do y'all have days like that? You have a regular day's journey, and then you have like a Saturday journey or a Sunday journey. You're not willing to go on a day you're not getting paid to go do it as far as you would be on a day you're getting paid to go do those things. Are y'all this way? Am I the only one who's that bad on? So I don't know how far it is, but it's a good walk. Not enough to break a sweat. And they're standing there, and they're looking up into heaven thinking, how can this be? He was gone, but then he was back, and now he's gone again. I knew he could walk on water. I know he could fly. Man, what happened? Where did he go? What do we do now? And two men in white apparel, I'm going to assume are angels. You can call them what you want. They might have been, well, never mind. I won't make jokes there. I think they're angels. And they said, you men of Galilee, don't stand here looking up into heaven. Jesus told you what to do. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait, because that's where God's going to give you power. Don't stand here gazing. He'll come back, just like he said. John chapter 14, right? Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God. Speaking to these same guys. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He'll come back just like he said. Don't stand here gazing. Do you have a natural tendency to dwell? Well, I do. I got this recliner at home. Amen, fellas? Oh, I got one good hearty amen there. It's green. It's not the best looking recliner. It has a hole in the arm where we moved so many times that one real strong guy helping me one time, his name was Mayo. That's the dude. That's what we called him. Big old guy. He looks like he's from Mexico, but he talks more southern than I do. He's so fun to be around. We love Mayo. I was with Mayo at a Taco Bell one time, and the girl on the other side there thought he was from Mexico, and she started talking to him in Spanish. And Mayo said to her, in his real southern drawl, said, ma'am, I don't talk Spanish. Actually, I think he said, ma'am, I don't speak Mexican. I think that's what he told her. I could be wrong on that. So me and Mayo, we were toting this chair in, and we hit the side of the door, and we ripped the arm open. My boys have climbed up on the, they like to put the reclining part up and then use it as a diving board, right? It's perfect to dive off into something. And they've broken the reclined part's broken off over here on one side. So I could put my feet up, but I have to keep them to the left because they'll fall off over here. And the arm over on this side is shoved in. It broke, and like all the padding is shoved down in there. But it's my recliner. I'm very comfortable in my recliner. It probably stinks like me. So to me, it smells good because I can't smell it because it stinks like me, you know. My poor wife hates the recliner. She's ready for the recliner to go. She's shown me other chairs and says, you need to replace this recliner. But it's mine. I'm comfortable there. It smells just right. It fits to me. You can sit in my recliner and it'll eat you up because it's used to fitting around my big body. And I have this tendency to dwell because I'm used to it, because I like how it feels. I like how it smells. It soothes me when I'm sick. It holds me when I'm hurting. Somebody should have said, aw. Do you have that tendency? I think we all, to an extent, had this natural tendency to dwell. Think of these guys here in our text. Jesus came and he lived and he died. What an emotional roller coaster for them. And all of it happened rather quickly. I mean, just 3 years ago, they were fishermen, tax collectors, whatever. And now they're followers of a rabbi. They themselves are now qualified essentially to be a rabbi to some extent. And their lives have really changed. And they're ready for Jesus to establish his kingdom, but he's left them. He ascended and these angels appeared. I'll just be honest with you. After seeing all that they've seen and living all that they have lived, standing there at the Mount of Olives, I might just decide to dwell at that point in my life. Because what more could there be? For Peter. Peter has walked on water himself. All the rest of them, they've seen Jesus walk on water. They've seen him dead and back to life again. They've seen Lazarus dead and back to life again. They've seen 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right? Feed 5,000 and then again feed 3,000 and have leftovers. Don't you love leftovers? These guys ate leftovers from the feeding of the 5,000. What more could life hold for them? You people have done some important things in life. You've done some exciting things in life. You know how after you've been somewhere, you've done something, just you're just like, wow, that was amazing. Can't believe I just did that. You know that feeling you have like, well, that won't ever get topped. That's it. I have lived now that I have done this thing. Here are these guys and this happened. I might just dwell at this point in my life. It's going to take them years to even debrief on what they've experienced. And you know this because you have their writings about it. Let's just sit right here, content in what we've experienced, looking up for Jesus' return and telling what we saw Jesus do. That would be my tendency. I hope that sounds familiar to you, because this is the tendency of the modern church. We're just going to sit right here, content in what we've experienced. Jesus saved me. I was 11 years old. I got baptized and blah, blah, blah. Content in what I've experienced. I'm looking for Jesus' return. Some days when there's not enough money or there's a war or something real bad happens, I'm really looking for Jesus' return. But when the Bulldogs are on TV, I say, Jesus, can you get 3 hours here? Come on now. On good days, I'm not looking so hard, right? And trying to tell people what I saw Jesus do. We have become a church who dwells. Gazing up into heaven is about the most active, especially the American church, is. A great church advances. This great church in the book of Acts advanced. They returned to Jerusalem. Verse 12. They set things in order. They prayed and were ready when the Holy Spirit began to work. You can imagine what things may have looked like if they would have refused to advance. You know how it is. Nope. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I'm going to sit right here, Mount Olivet, where Jesus last was. You all go on to Jerusalem if you want to. This is where I saw my Lord last, and this is where I'm going to stay. I have lived a good life. I'm content with what I've experienced, and right here is where I'm going to be. Here comes the day of Pentecost. We'll read about that in chapter 2 next time. The Spirit descends in Jerusalem, and the work of the church begins. And you can imagine, had anybody stayed at Mount Olivet who said, I'm not going, I'm not returning to Jerusalem, I'm not going to advance, I'm just going to sit right here where I'm comfortable. You can imagine what it would have been like over at Olivet if they heard what happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that can't be real. 3,000 people got saved. Yeah, right. I mean, 3,000 people never began to follow Jesus even when he was alive. Because I was there, not me, but you know, the person who dwelled at Olivet. He fed 3,000 of them at one time. They saw his miracles and all of them went back home. None of them decided to follow him. There's no way over in Jerusalem of all places. I know what goes on over in Jerusalem. It ain't like Mount Olivet over here. There's no way 3,000 people got saved. You mean to tell me Peter preached? I remember that night, cussing, denying God, and now he's preaching. Yeah, right. And 3,000 people say they got saved. And, I mean, can y'all get in with this on me? Is that about how it would be? dwelling over here at Mount Olivet, refusing to move on to Jerusalem, and then just can't get on board with what's going on the day of Pentecost. Now, I've taken some liberties here, and you know I have. But that's exactly the talk that comes from those who dwell and refuse to advance. Everybody else is wrong, except for who? Them. Everything new can't be good, because what I've got is good, and everything new is not what I've got. So it's got to be bad. There'll be something wrong with it. Now, I'm a cynic like that myself. I get my shampoo, I get my deodorant, I get my car, I got my wife, you know, I get my house. I get things just like I think they should be. This is right. Anything new that comes along, I'm like, whew, that shampoo may smell better than mine, but it's probably going to cause me cancer. You know, my hair will fall out if I use it. This one I got is right. That new one can't be good. Dwellers have no clue what it is that they're for in life, only the things that they're against. They couldn't tell you what they're going to do, but they know, and they can tell you in 3-point outline form everything that they're not going to do. I refuse to be this way. You know how I know so much about people who dwell? Ask me. Answer me. That wasn't a rhetorical question. How do I know so much? Oh, man, I have been there. God intends us to advance the church. This great church advanced from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the Bible says, to the ends of the earth. That's how the church got to Rome. They advanced. Do your neighbors know what you believe? What about that person next to you at work every day? Now, you're counting down the days to retirement, and I'm glad you are. I told one of you recently, you told me that your retirement was soon, and I said, yes, because I got stuff for you to do around the church. That's great. Love retired people, especially people who retire young, you know, and still dig ditches and things. It's great. I know you're counting down the days to retirement, and they are too. But for the 30 years that you work, or however long it is, you're right there with them day in, day out. Do they know what you believe? What about your family? Do they know? We've become consumed as a church with figuring out what to do to advance the church instead of actually just doing it. We've got books, we've got programs, we've got seminars. We hire just the right preacher to get us excited about what it is we should be doing. We sing the songs. We do all of the things that are about what to do. But we do very little. Let me tell you what to do to advance the church. It's simple. You're not going to like what the answer here. Don't get excited. Be like Christ. Isn't that simple? It's hard to do, but knowing what to do is easy. Just be like Him. Read about Him in the Bible and do the things that He did. Stop dwelling on how to advance or what to avoid while advancing and just go and make disciples. This is what Jesus did. He went out and He said, follow Me, and they followed Him, and then He discipled them, trained them, got them ready. Well, people say, I'm just not comfortable doing that. Salvation is a personal thing. I don't want to get in people's business. Can I say this to you today? I am so glad that the man who led me to Jesus didn't feel that way about it. So we must be a church that advances. We have what this world needs. We got it in a good way. I like you people. You're nice. You're nice looking. My chair stinks, but yours don't. Yours smells good. And you have the gospel. And people like you. They want to be around you. And they want to hear it from you. We have it. But they need us to get it to them. I want us to have a time of prayer right now before we move on with our service. And as we pray, here's some things that I hope you will pray with me. Pray that we become a group advancing the church. Advancing God's church. This is not about building a building. This is not about padding pews. This is not picking out carpet. This is not any of that stuff. And all that's fine. But to me, those are just details. Those are the minor things. We have got to. And I want our focus this year at our church to be major on the major. All the details are going to get taken care of, because there's some of us around here who are so obsessive about things that we're going to make sure some of these things are taken care of. And if you find things we're not taking care of, let me know, and we'll put somebody on it. We'll get to work on it quickly. We want to get it right. But that's not what we're talking about here today. I'm not talking about advancing the church so that we're the best church in town. I'm talking about advancing God's church so that this world turns their faces back upon Him and the Word of God. Pray with me today that we become a group who is advancing God's church. Pray that God will help you as we do. Because advancing is not comfortable. You know why advancing is not comfortable? You never get to dwell. I like my recliner. I just want to sit in it. I don't want a new one. Even when that one breaks, I'm going to duct tape it. And just keep using it, because it's mine. It's paid for. I'm used to it. It's comfortable for me. Well, advancing is not comfortable. Ask God today to help you be more flexible and less attached. Now, let me say this. Some of you are sitting here and you're like, yes, I like what you're saying. This is where you need to pray too. Because you have it already in your mind of what the church needs to be doing while they're advancing. And I'm asking you to be flexible. Because what you've done in the past may not be what we need to do in the future. What you've seen at other churches may not be what works right here with this congregation. This is not where you were from. This is Kingston Springs. And if you've not figured Kingston Springs out yet, we're a quirky bunch of people. It's a quirky little town. And I say that complimentary. That's why I live here. I like it here. My wife and I were talking last night. We're both like, oh, my throat hurts and my nose is burning. You know, it's that time of year. And she was like, well, I was talking to this lady in town the other day, and she's got this stuff you're supposed to rub on, you know. I said, Vic Salve. And she said, no, it's natural. So they make it right here in our town. I was like, well, that's neat. You try it first, and then I'll get some. But I like that it's like that around here. You know, we go get some Jeff Moore honey. He makes it right here, you know. This is great. And because of that, we have a unique environment. There's singer-songwriters here. And then there are people who just own guitars, right? Who think they are. And you kind of accommodate both. There are people who've been in one church. How many of you have been in this church right here all of your life? All right, some of you have been here all, just right here. This is all you know. That's great. There's no shame in that. There's some of you who've been in 13 different churches throughout your life. You've seen a lot of different things. Ask God to help us be a church that advances. And as we do, ask Him to help you to be more flexible and less attached. And if you're not a Christian, I encourage you today, be born again. Join us on this. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. This is year 5. This is the kickoff in year 5 for me. I might get a little crazy. Some of you are going to question me. You're going to think, man, you weren't doing this these last 4 years. Wait till next week's sermon. By the way, if you do think that, come and question me. That's all right, because we know each other that well now. Let's pray that today. God, we want to be used by You so much. We want to be a church that is advancing. We want to be flexible no matter what comes. We just want to do what we have to do to help others find You. Let's stand and have a time of prayer. Church that advances. If you're here today and you're not saved, come in and get saved today. This is a great trip. You want to be a part of it.